This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
It's Tuesday, it's 5 o'clock, so that means Brian Wheeler is live in studio, and he is. Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, and he joins us every Tuesday afternoon a few minutes after 5 to talk about growth and development and local elections, and of course, pie. How are you, sir? It's good to see you.
I'm doing great, Coy.
And we're honored to have live in studio with us your son, Sam. He's with us as well. Sam, glad you're here. Enjoy the ride. Sorry, we don't have seatbelts. So what is it you bring? You're come with a gift today.
I came with gifts, and it's a slice of pie, and I have a story to go with it.
Gosh, so I'm glad you brought this because I'm hungry and I'm sick, but it's good.
For the listeners who are expecting growth and development, that may be in the second half of the show.
Really? Yeah. So you got a real pie story to tell.
I have a good pie story.
All right.
So while y'all sample the fruits of our labor here, Sam is eating his pie too.
God, this is good. Where's
this
from?
This is apple pie. It's from Loudoun County. Now, I had to go on a little road trip this past weekend up to Downingtown, Pennsylvania. So we went through Gettysburg, took the back way to avoid D.C.
I love
and
Gettysburg.
95 and all that.
Yeah.
So we took 15, the 15 North
That's
Corridor.
That's beautiful, isn't it? That's a beautiful drive.
In a lot of places, it is.
Yeah.
In other places, it's heavily developed.
Yeah.
You know, like in Loudoun County. It's very checkerboard.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a lot of traffic on the way up and a total nightmare, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Construction, cars. I don't know what was going on, but, you know, trying to get across the
Northern Virginia, man.
But trying to get across the Potomac, you know, at Point of Rocks.
Yeah, isn't that pretty?
It's pretty.
Was it all backed up?
It was all backed up. And then we get there, and there was no evidence of why it was all backed up.
Oh, don't you hate that?
But
I
anyway,
hate that.
So it allowed me, though, to look at signs along the side of the road.
There you go.
And I was observing a lot of pie signs.
Really?
Yes.
On 15 around Point of Rocks.
Well, there was a place in Loudoun County that advertised pies, and we drove. That was the first one we saw, and we drove by, and I said to my daughter Abby, "Oh shoot, you know, I'd turn around and go get a pie right now," but we'd never get back out in the traffic. And anyway, so we kept going, and then we get in Pennsylvania.
This is so good. I'm glad you brought this.
Good.
This is delicious.
I see other signs. I saw a sign for shoe fly pie.
What's that?
I have no idea. Maybe somebody will call and tell us what shoe fly pie is.
977-1070. What is shoe fly pie?
And then we saw a really scary sign that said baked oyster pie.
Ooh, now that's going to make me hurl.
We didn't stop for that one.
No.
But anyway.
I like oysters.
So the drive up on Friday night got me all excited about pie.
What'd you say? Well, come here. There's Michael Bisseglia.
Oh, good. We have an expert.
So, Michael, your favorite pie of all time is a shoe fly pie?
Oh, no. I was going to say it's a key lime pie.
Oh.
Now I'm just staring at pie. Maybe I lied to get in the studio. Thanks, Brian.
I've already had my piece.
Have a bite of pie.
Day. You can have mine.
It's good stuff. So I thought you knew what shoe fly pie was.
It was good.
Hey, bro. Shoe fly pie. Somebody call and tell me what it is.
He just
thought you knew what it is. He's just making an excuse.
He was just looking for any excuse to come busting in.
Key lime is his pie. He's the key lime guy.
And that key lime pie we had from Chandler's was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And he sampled that. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, so shoe fly pie, I have no idea what that is. We'll find out here shortly. But, you know, driving up, I'm sick of the traffic, and I'm thinking I'm not going to go back that way. I'm going to take 95 and avoid all that mess. But then by Sunday morning, I was in the mood for pie. So I convinced myself going back through Gettysburg would be a good thing. So we come upon the place in Loudoun County, which I will remind everybody, that's where this whole pie adventure started, was us reading about pies in the Washington Post.
Yeah.
I talked about that on the radio. My friend said, "Brian, I love your show, but you need to talk about pie more often." And
people love pie, Brian.
So anyway, we're talking about pie now. And
we're the pie guys.
We stopped at Hyder's Country Store and Farm Market. Hyder's.
Is that in America? Where is this?
This is in Loudoun County.
Loudoun County.
On 15,
in Virginia.
Route 15.
Did I say America? I meant to say Virginia.
You did say America. You're
That's
very
America
sick.
To me, buddy.
You're sick, boy. So we stopped at Hyder's Country Store. Abby and I, we walk in. Immediately we see the sign, pies made fresh daily.
Oh, wow.
So we're excited.
Gosh, yeah.
And we see, and it's not like they have lots of them. They're only like three or four on the shelf.
Yeah.
So we immediately grab the cherry pie. And I'm getting very excited. We're walking straight to the register. I have got my pie in hand. And Abby, you know, you shouldn't shop for pie alone. Because Abby was smart enough to say, "Dad, you know, that pie is never going to make it home. So we need to get a second pie for Sam and Gene.
She's smart.
And you're eating.
Sam, that's good pie, isn't it? You're eating it right now. It's good, isn't it?
You're eating, awesome. You're eating the second pie. So you're eating the apple pie. But the first pie we got was the cherry pie. All right. So
yeah.
Abby and I are in the car now, and we have the same idea at the same time, which is, you know, a la mode.
Yeah.
You got cherry pie, you got to have ice cream. Fortunately, on the way home on 29 South from Gainesville, well, you know, 15 hits Gainesville, you turn right.
Yep, yep.
Pete's Park and Eat.
Where's that?
That's the soft serve place right near Clark Brothers, the gun shop.
Oh, yeah, with the concrete round tables outside.
Right, exactly.
Right on the side.
You got it.
I've been there.
All right.
Right across from the sheets.
So Abby and I immediately got the same idea, which was take the cherry pie to Pete's Park and Eat.
Yeah.
And make it a la mode.
Sounds good. Let's check in with Kathy on line two. Kathy, you there?
I am.
Do you know what shoe fly pie is?
I actually do. I'm from Pennsylvania, and it's a Pennsylvania Dutch pie. It's made with dark, like Brer Rabbit molasses and flour, and it's really, really gooey. And the reason they call it shoe fly is because the Pennsylvania Dutch people used to put it on the windowsills to cool, and they would just, you know, shoo the flies away. So it got the name shoe fly pie. So, and Brian, I'm a neighbor of yours, and I'll bring you one back next time I go to Pennsylvania. I'll bring you a whole one back.
They are
absolutely delicious.
My favorite cookie is molasses cookies, so
yeah,
I would love
this. Yeah, and then I have a crumbly top, top to it. They mix, you know, like sugar and flour and make it crumbly on top. It's really, really good.
That sounds
yum.
Good.
That sounds awesome. Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you so much.
That sounds
You're
great.
Welcome.
Thanks for the call. There's Kathy on line two. Thank you very much.
So Abby and I have this idea of Pete's Park and Eat. We got to make this thing a la mode. So we stopped first at Target. We had to buy some equipment. We stopped at Target.
Y'all got to eat this pie.
Well, we had to get some Tupperware and a spatula. We got the 99-cent spatula.
Because you're eating in the car.
Well, we didn't want to eat the whole thing. You know, I mean, that would be... Let me stop right now and just say I'm a professional pie eater. This is not something anybody else should even think about doing, okay?
Everybody else just needs to get home to their kitchen. You, however, you're one of the pie guys. You can do this on the road.
Yeah. No, yeah. This is advanced stuff. So we got the spatula. We cut the pie into quarters, and we moved half of it into the Tupperware. So to preserve half the cherry pie,
right.
Set that aside.
Yeah.
And then we moved the little quarters so they were facing each other. Right? So we had 2/4 of a pie. I think that's a half. Is that right, Sam?
I don't know.
Yeah. So we had half the pie in the tin.
Okay.
And the 2/4 were sort of facing each other, and then you had the 2 empty spots.
For the ice cream.
Well, you know, we would leave that up to them. But so we drive down the road now. We leave Target in Gainesville. We go down 29. We arrive at Pete's Park and Eat. And the whole way I'm thinking, am I going to have the courage to go in there and really say this? But Abby and I walk straight in. There's a big crowd in the waiting room.
Yeah.
We show up, you know, with our pie plate. And I walk up to the guy and I said, you know, we have an interesting request for you. Can you a la mode this?
A la mode this, sucker.
To which he says, a la what? And then a guy back in the kitchen who's watching this and sees us show up with this thing, he says, ice cream. And so then the cashier says, can we do this? And then the guy in the back says, you're just selling ice cream. So I didn't want to miss a beat. I immediately jumped on the opportunity here and I said,
that's great.
You know, we want, you know, I'd like 2 cones worth, skip the cones.
Yeah.
And so I hand him my pie, right? He takes the pie, walks it over to the machine, pulls the lever, fills up the 2 empty
with that soft serve they
quarters
got.
With the soft serve.
Oh,
and then
man.
I'm like, have you got any spoons? So we take the spoons, we take the pie, we go out to those concrete tables outside.
Yeah, with the umbrellas.
We sat it down. You know, we walk out of the restaurant. The people are looking at us like we're crazy, and which we are. But then we sat at the umbrellas, at the concrete tables. We ate our cherry pie a la mode with the gunshots ringing in the background from the Clark Brothers shooting range.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It was a beautiful moment.
And the view of 29, traffic going north and south. It's beautiful.
It was beautiful.
You are a pie guy and a pie family. I'm impressed. So was it good?
It was very good.
Because this apple I ate, that's from the same baker, right?
Same baker.
That was fantastic.
Yep.
But now I want to try a shoe fly. How long is it going to take Kathy to get to Pennsylvania back?
I'll let you know. But, you know, this is all a part of my training to be a judge in the Seville Pie Fest. So I have to go out and look for these opportunities.
Yeah, so remind us what that is, because I want to be a judge too.
Seville Pie Fest will be held at the Mud House, the new Mud House in Crozet, sometime in September. And you should tell the folks you're talking to tomorrow on your show about the Twitter book.
Mm-hmm.
We are organizing these pie festivals all via Twitter.
Really?
That's how these things are happening.
That's totally cool. And so we're going to broadcast live from that pie competition. It's a pie-in?
That sounds great.
Is that what it's called, a pie-in?
Well, the original one held, I think, a couple months ago in the downtown Mud House was called the Pie Down.
The Pie Down.
Seville Pie Down. This one's called the Seville Pie Fest.
There you go. I like that.
Yeah.
And it's all being handled on Twitter.
It's all being organized via Twitter.
And we're going to be there broadcasting live from that big event. We're talking with Brian Wheeler, one of the judges in the Charlottesville Pie Festival coming up in September. We'll give you complete details as they become available. A quick break. We'll be right back. This is Charlottesville Right Now. It's 23 minutes after 5 o'clock, about 75 degrees. I'm Coy Barefoot. This is Charlottesville Right Now. It's News Radio 1070 WINA. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. Have you all had that stomach bug going around?
No.
There's a stomach bug going around that for me turned into like flu-like symptoms. I'll be honest with you. Don't spread this. I thought I had the flu right here at a time when everybody's saying everybody has swine flu. I actually went to the doctor and got tested. I'm like, do I have it? They're like, they did a nasal thing where they stick something down your nose. They said, no, you do not have a flu. Looks like you got a really bad cold. But
it does look like you have a really bad
yeah,
cold.
Yeah.
Sounds like it.
Well, thank God I don't have that pig thing.
This pie will make you better, though.
Yeah, I already feel better. So before we go to a break here at the bottom of the hour, can you tell us what's going on with this new Whole Foods?
Yeah, real quick.
They're supposed to build a big new Whole Foods over by the Gold's Gym on Hydraulic Road. And it's going to have a parking garage and everything.
Actually, no. It's less big, and there's no parking garage.
There's no parking garage now?
It's a flat open parking
lot. I was looking more forward to that than to the bigger aisles.
Well, you know, maybe if they...
I'm a man who appreciates a good parking garage.
They have moved the Whole Foods. This is proposed for the Kmart Gold's Gym shopping center over there, across the street on Hydraulic from the Kroger's and Virginia Power's little setup over there. But anyway, they've moved the Whole Foods building in this new plan that just got approved by the Charlottesville Planning Commission from the spot that sort of would have put it in line with Gold's Gym.
Yeah.
That row of buildings in Hillsdale Drive would have gone right between them, right between Gold's Gym. And the Whole Foods, Hillsdale
yeah.
Drive's right between them. The new Hillsdale Drive.
Yeah.
Hillsdale Drive extended.
Okay.
But they've instead moved the store to put it flush against Hydraulic Road. So its main front, you know, the front of Whole Foods will be right on the sidewalk at Hydraulic Road.
With big flat parking behind it? And
with
next
a big
to it?
Open parking lot behind it. Relegated parking, they call that.
Interesting.
Yes.
That'll look weird, won't it? Right up against Hydraulic?
Well, no. I mean, depends who you ask, I guess. It's a matter of opinion. But one of the ideas in both the county and the city for places like this is to have the buildings up along the roads and the sidewalks and have that pedestrian sense of scale and place. And
yeah.
That's how the planners talk about it.
Sort of like Main Street.
So in most of the visual simulations we've seen of this, there are, in fact, multi-story buildings right up against Hydraulic Road. And that's sort of the vision that they have for this in the future. Huh. Similar vision across the way on Hydraulic up at Albemarle Place in the county. So anyway, the Whole Foods has gotten smaller. They got rid of the parking garage. And the new store will be 40,000 square feet. I don't know how that compares to the current Whole Foods.
That was my next question.
Yeah, I knew you'd ask me. Initially, though, the plan was to go to 66,600 square feet. So they've bumped it back significantly to 40,000.
Hello, economy.
My assumption is it's still bigger than the current one.
Yeah, yeah.
And there may have been some confusion in the public because there's been this discussion about
I was confused.
City Council using eminent domain.
I was confused.
To build the Hillsdale Drive extended and the theater. And
unconfuse me, please.
Well,
what's this all about?
The eminent domain related to the Whole Foods project and the need to acquire the land for the start of Hillsdale Drive.
Yeah.
As part of the Whole Foods store, they will construct Hillsdale Drive, the beginning, but not the middle.
So they'll build it like from Hydraulic back to the theater.
Right.
Okay.
back to the edge of their parking lot, probably.
Yeah.
And so it was all about getting the land to do that. The developer of Whole Foods has already said, hey, whatever it costs, I'm going to pay for it because I know that's part of the cost of doing business here. I need to help pay for that road.
Then we get to maintain it forever.
And so there was some corporate entity individuals who held that property. They were holding out for a better deal.
Yeah.
And they finally negotiated something right before the city council met last night. So city council did not have to take action to acquire that property. But again, this does not address the future eminent domain issue up at the Seminole Cinema.
Seminole Cinema.
I'm thinking about cinnamon in that pie because that pie was really good.
Seminole Cinema that they're going to build into like a 9-screen.
Yeah, that thing.
It doesn't affect that at all.
It does not affect that. That's a different, that's a future imminent.
And there's no money
discussion
for this, what's this road called again?
Hillsdale Drive Extended.
There's no money for that anyway.
There's no money programmed by VDOT to actually pay for this for the middle part. Now, this developer is going to pay for their little part because they need a way for cars to get to their parking lot.
Yeah.
Right?
So we'll have the Whole Foods folks will build us a nice road from Hydraulic over to the Seminole parking lot.
We'll have a little stub.
So there'll be a little cut through to Giant.
Well,
better than driving all the way around Kmart like you do now.
There will only be a cut through to Giant if they come to some agreement with the theater.
Oh, and they're still working on that.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Eminent domain. It looks like that works. The threat of eminent domain. Goodness
gracious. That's what's going on with the Whole Foods.
There
it's moving along.
Let's take a break for local news and weather. And when we get back, we have a whole lot more to talk about. Places 29, Trader Joe's, Albemarle Place, the elections going on. Lots of good stuff. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow. And this is Charlottesville Right Now. Let's rejoin our conversation with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at sevilletomorrow.org. Let's talk about this Places 29 thing.
It's heating up.
And they're going to be talking about it tonight, right?
They are.
What is tonight?
6 o'clock tonight, the Albemarle County Planning Commission is meeting to have a work session on Places 29. That's the master plan for the entire 29 North Corridor in Albemarle County.
Is this what we were going to talk about last week when the power went out?
It was, and I'll never touch that button again.
Tell them what happened. That was amazing.
We were sitting here. I think we got to the end of the half hour.
It was right now, 1 week ago.
And boom.
Yeah.
The whole studio just went black.
We couldn't even see each other. And we're sitting like 3 or 4 feet away from each other. We could not see each other. It was totally black in here.
And then the WINA staff started scurrying around and trying to figure out how to reboot everything. And
yeah,
I was glad. Frankly, I was afraid I was going to come in here and you were going to tell me we were down the hall somewhere in a temporary studio because they had to rebuild everything on the spot.
Oh, you mean today?
Yeah.
No, they got to fix that night.
Oh, good.
Yeah. They're very good.
They're very good.
Very talented.
But anyway, that was interesting. So we had all these good things we were going to talk about. We previewed them.
Yeah.
Then the power went out, and then we left people hanging.
And everybody's calling, what happened to WINA? It's off the air. Anyway, so let's talk about it now.
Yeah, before the power goes out.
So Places 29.
So this is another opportunity for the public to weigh in front of the Planning Commission, but who has been weighing in recently has been the local business community through the Free Enterprise Forum. Neil Williamson is the director over there.
Yeah, they don't like Places 29 because they don't want to see the overpasses over 29, even though most drivers want to see it, like an overpass at Rio or an overpass at Hydraulic, so you don't have to stop at 29. You could just go over it. They don't like that because there's so many businesses on 29. They like you, traffic. The traffic serves business well on 29.
It's sort of being attacked from three different fronts, and they pick different issues to lead with. So Neil Williamson's big concern recently has been cost. The cost of the planning project, the cost of implementation of this project, and what he sees as not providing, no truth in advertising about what these projects will ultimately cost. You know, if you don't build this thing for 10, 15 years, what will that grade
separate? He's adding an inflation.
He wants to have inflation numbers on everything so that you can see in the year in which something will be built what it will actually cost.
But that's just a tactic in his strategy. The Chamber and the Free Enterprise Forum, they don't like Places 29. Again, they've made very clear, they say it's not good for business.
Another business affiliated with the Chamber is the North Charlottesville Business Council. They have been the ones most opposed to grade separation because some of their member businesses are actually at those interchanges.
Yeah.
And they're concerned.
So they don't want overpasses, which is what grade separated interchanges
are. That's right.
Are.
And then the Chamber of Commerce proper, their argument is one of their top priorities is build the Western bypass around everything. That would be the transportation project of choice for them because they see, again, they want to avoid disruption on 29, and they think that that's a better solution to get traffic off for local drivers, but also to allow through traffic to get to other chamber areas like the Lynchburg area and the Danville
area. But what was the percentage again of through traffic on 29?
VDOT estimates only 12% of the traffic on 29 is actually trying to get past Charlottesville.
So 88 out of every 100 cars on 29, that's us. We're not driving through. We're driving up and down 29 to go home or go to stores or whatever.
Right. So the feedback recently has been primarily, most vocally from the business community. We've written a couple stories about this at SeavilleTomorrow.org. If you're not getting our weekly emails, please sign up because then you would have already known about these stories.
I get them.
I emailed them out this Monday.
And I like how they come out. They're all personalized. It's like, Dear Coy.
Thank you.
I like that.
It's a lot of work. And so anyway, we've outlined what some of those concerns are, but we've also outlined the county's response. The county was quite taken aback by some of the comments that were made by the Free Enterprise Forum in particular, charging that the county was basically being dishonest about how they were presenting this information. The county has said in response, we've had very open conversations about what's the right base year to be using for these numbers. Should we use 2007 when the transportation study was done? Should we use 2009 dollars when we're going to hopefully approve this plan?
Yeah.
Or should we try and project? And the consensus of the Planning Commission is let's use a current number, 2009 number, and then every 5 years when we revisit this plan, let's update the numbers. So that's where they're going.
Sounds sensible.
My critique, I guess, would be that anybody who's concerned with these major infrastructure projects, whether it's water supply, Western Bypass, grade separation on 29, Meadow Creek Parkway, if you're concerned about inflation factors and cost, you need to be equally concerned about all government projects and infrastructure projects.
So be consistent. So if the Free Enterprise Forum wants to add the inflation into the costs of Places 29, they should be willing to do it for the water supply plan or the Western Bypass as well, which so far they have not done.
Not to my knowledge. And I think Neil would be the first to say, yes, amen, please put inflation numbers on everything.
Yeah.
And it's not that hard to do. I mean, if you know what the current project cost is, you can project out as far as you want with inflation factor.
Yeah.
The bigger challenge is, do you have the right starting place? What's the right starting number for some of these projects? Who knows the cost of the Western Bypass? I mean, that's anybody would be guessing if they told you they had that number right now. Most people are saying it's over $300 million. But the last time that a number was put on paper was a long time ago by VDOT. And I think it was $180-something million. So
I've never been opposed to the Western Bypass. It's a road that always made sense to me. But it's like being for an elevator to the moon. It's like, that would be cool. Now, there's no money for that.
One of the things we teased people about before we got taken off the air by the power was the three-party agreement. And you asked about that last week.
Yeah.
And we said, when we come back.
For the folks who are new to town who may not know that there was a three-party agreement, we have to tell them what it is.
Right.
Because I thought everybody signed that.
So I just want you to know I was listening, Coy. I did my homework. And now Seavillepedia, the new online dictionary.
Seavillepedia.com?
Seavillepedia.org.
.org?
O-R-G. If you go to Seavillepedia.org and type in the search box, three-party agreement, I've written up a little article for you.
And they get the whole thing?
And there's even a map.
And I printed it out.
Look at you.
This is very nice, Brian. And there's a map and everything.
I stole a little map from the Virginia
and the reason,
General Assembly.
When I was a local reporter back in the 90s, I used to reference this all the time because I thought, this is like sort of the, in the Middle East, they had the road map to peace. like that. It's like our roadmap. The three-party agreement was like, finally, everybody's on the same page. This is our roadmap to peace in Central Virginia. It's called the three-party agreement. And yet you never hear people talking about it today.
And if we don't talk about it, if we don't document it, people will forget it. And then elected officials will come along.
It'll be like McIntyre Day in Charlottesville. They'll just forget
They'll forget it.
Yeah. So tell us what it was.
We're trying to capture all that. This was an agreement in the in response to the fall of 1990 VDOT study about the future of 29 and what they thought. They'd taken in all this public feedback about the Western Bypass and what was known as Alternate 10. That was the path that the bypass was projected to go on. And the community responded to that by saying, okay, before you build the Western Bypass, we want these things done. And the city of Charlottesville, Albemarle County, University of Virginia all agreed to the sequencing of steps that would come before a Western Bypass. They included widening US 29. And actually, I looked at it, and the parts that they asked to be widened have now been widened. That said, there are other parts that the community thinks should be widened now, like between the river, Ravenna River, and Hollymead Town Center.
Oh, heck yeah.
And between the 7-Eleven at Hydraulic Road and the Best Buy.
Heck yeah.
Add some lanes
Definitely.
There.
Absolutely.
So now we've sort of grown as a community since 1990, and people want to widen more of it.
Just a wee bit.
Construction of the Meadow Creek Parkway was on the list of sequencing steps. That is now underway in Albemarle County, still being discussed in the city. And then the construction of three grade-separated interchanges or overpasses at Rio, Greenbrier Drive, and Hydraulic. So again, 1990, they agreed to a sequencing. They said, before you do the Western Bypass, build at least three interchanges on 29. Eliminate those traffic lights so the traffic can flow more quickly north and south and be congestion-free.
So now you got folks who are reneging on the three-party agreement.
Yeah, that is what's happening.
Yeah.
Because the city, and the city did so shortly after on the issue of the Hydraulic interchange. They weren't as excited about that going forward. And that still gets talked about today as far as where it's going to be in the priority list. What's interesting now, Coy, is this Places 29 master planning process is also updating our thinking. They've got new data on traffic. And now they are recommending six grade-separated interchanges, not the three called for in 1990, but twice as many along 29. And again, it's ideas like that being put on the table by both VDOT and Albemarle County planners and consultants that's getting raising the hackles of the, the business community concerned about this.
I'm all for the business community, but look, I don't see how we can look out at the future of Central Virginia, and even if there is a Western Bypass, I don't see how you cannot have some overpasses going over 29 to serve the east-west traffic, whether it's at Rio or Hydraulic or elsewhere. I don't see how we move forward as a community without those.
Well, and none of these projects will get done unless we move forward as a commonwealth and figure out some solution to funding these projects. And so that's another piece of, I guess, critique about this whole discussion. It's good to know, you know, what your starting point is on cost estimates. It's good to talk about inflation factor, but we have...
At the end of the day, if you don't have the political will to come up with the cash to pay for these projects to build the infrastructure for your community, then you're, you know, you're Mississippi.
The fourth thing on that list of sequencing...
Nothing against Mississippi.
...was the North Grounds Connector, and that, of course, has been built by the university. So... Interesting to look back, you know, at that agreement. And
so the Eastern Connector was never part of the three-party agreement?
No.
Interesting.
No.
Because I thought it was.
It was not.
Huh. That was just always a dream. That was sort of like the Southern Connector. It was one of those dream roads. Like, wouldn't it be cool one day if we could connect this to this?
So this agreement was signed in 1991. I think UVA signed in 92. But if anybody knows more about this that I've left off in this brief review of it, the great thing about civilpedia.org is you can log in, create an account, and start editing and adding to the knowledge of the community.
I know
George and Fluvanna has often called in about the three-party agreement. And George, if you're listening, I hope you'll sign into Civilpedia and share your knowledge.
Yeah. Well, that means he's been around for a while. He remembers it. The three-party. Thank you for bringing us up to date, because I think it's something that we should remember. The folks who are saying no, build the Western Bypass and don't build the overpasses, that flies in the face of a long-standing agreement that this community has had about how we would move forward. So, interesting. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at SeavilleTomorrow.org. We got a few minutes left.
Yeah, you mentioned Trader Joe's.
Yes. And I'm not this like huge Trader Joe's fan, but I find that very interesting that people are talking about it coming to Charlottesville.
Yeah, Daily Progress put a story out. They somebody in their advertising department must have walked over to the news department and said, "Hey, look at this ad we're running," and which makes sense. And the ad was to get a alcoholic beverage commission license, ABC license, for Trader Joe's at Albemarle Place. So Albemarle Place, they haven't really broken ground on. They've moved some dirt around. They are waiting for additional sewer capacity. The Meadow Creek sewer interceptor needs to be upgraded before any occupancy permits could be issued for Albemarle Place. So it struck me as odd that, one, they were advertising right now, because it's not like they have a building coming out of the ground.
Yeah, it could be years.
They haven't even cleared the land yet. But they are anticipating, I guess, having that sewer capacity in place and being able to start on Albemarle Place. Now, the Whole Foods we were talking about earlier was going to be the original grocery store tenant in Albemarle Place. They were the first to sign as a
tenant. Now it's
going to
be Trader Joe's.
They moved across the street into the city. Trader Joe's, it sounds like, is going to anchor Albemarle Place as the first grocery store there in Albemarle County.
Brian, you go to all these meetings and you read all these documents. How many years are we looking at for Albemarle Place? I mean, how many? Give me a guesstimate before somebody could actually walk into Trader Joe's in Charlottesville.
I would have to.
Five, seven?
Oh, no. I don't think it'll be that long. I mean, and the market will dictate this to some degree.
Yeah.
It sounds like they're getting their plans in place. They could easily carve out that portion of Albemarle Place, which was a sort of a big box in a parking lot, right?
Yeah.
It's not the more complicated
part. At the hydraulic end?
No, it's at the other end. It's up against on the other north of Sperry Marine, so it's in between the old Comdial plant and Sperry Marine.
Okay,
and that's all forest right now, so it has not been cut.
So they would have to build that new intersection across from the post office.
That's right. That would be part of this.
So there'd be a new light.
So when we last opened that file, actually, we saw Trader Joe's penciled in on the building 3 or 4 months ago, and we called Trader Joe's, tried to get them to comment. They wouldn't comment. And so I think they've been in the mix here for a while. There's a new owner of the Albemarle Place project. I think they're trying to keep it moving. The market's going to dictate when they can do it. When we looked at those plans, I believe they had sort of first phase coming up and out of the ground in 2010, 2011. In the next 2 years, you could be in a Trader Joe's if all the cards fall in the right place.
If they build those new sewers.
They need the new sewer capacity.
Interesting. All right. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.